In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
It's always game day in Cleveland. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. It is a post-game edition of the Eagles' loss 20-16 at Lincoln Financial Field. We are brought to you by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Daryl, the word that comes to mind for me is just apathy, because now we're just kind of getting used to losing. And even though today's game was closer, if you're a team in the NFL that can't get the 20 points, you're not going to win many games. So, Daryl, your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm honestly concerned that people are going to get caught up in that second half from Deshaun Watson and the fact that he completed 11 to 12 passes for a buck 22. I don't know. Should I just remind folks that he threw for, let me check here, 46 yards in the first half. I'm going to make it a point in this podcast, Andy. I am not yelling and screaming today. I'm not doing that to our listeners and our viewers. But like, he threw for 46 yards in the first half, okay? He was a whopping 5 of 11. The only time they moved the ball is when they ran the ball in the first half. The Eagles came into this game with 6 sacks total. They had 5 on Sunday. You're right. I think it was Field Yates that posted this stat. The Browns are the first team in a decade to play their first 6 games and not score 20 points. So congratulations, golf clap to the Browns. Job well done. Also, too, how sweep it is for the NFC East. Bad news, Browns no longer on the schedule. Cowboys, Giants, Commanders, Eagles all abuse the Browns, beat them. You know, so you have that. The self-inflicted wound stuff continues at the worst possible times. And then, of course, more injuries, too. So all in all, yet another fabulous wasted Sunday watching football for Browns fans. I feel really, really bad for these folks. The fans deserve so much better than the product that they're getting on the field. And Kevin Stefanski damn well better not continue with the status quo. He better not maintain the status quo this week. Somebody either needs to be fired, demoted, promoted, something. Anything to show people that you're trying stuff. It's 6 weeks of this madness, and you can't continue. It's blatantly obvious. This offense sucks. It doesn't work, Andy. They can't throw for 200 yards in this offense, and the whole reason that they brought Ken Dorsey here was to unlock Deshaun Watson. Well, oh boy. He is going to need a lot more than unlocking. And I think that's the PG version of what I really want to say.
All right. So what happens? Does Ken Dorsey start calling plays? Does Ken Dorsey get fired? I mean, let's say it's so weird because you're like, well, maybe we give him more responsibility or maybe we give him less responsibility. And by the way, is Kevin Stefanski safe?
Yeah, I think he's safe.
I think he is. I do too.
But here's the thing. The Jameis Winston short package has to go away. Like, that's just as stupid. It's 3rd and 1, and you do a sweep handoff to Cedric Tillman, who gets blown up in the backfield for a loss, right? The pre-snap penalties are just killer. The holding penalties are killer. It feels like Jedrick Wills is good for one stupid, gonna really just blow something up bad penalty per game. And he had one again when Kevin Stefanski wanted to go for it on 4th down. Like, it's exhausting to think about how bad they are. I mean, it really is, Andy. And so, yeah, it is weird to think about. One of the solutions will be either you give Ken Dorsey more responsibility and have him call plays, or you say, yeah, this just isn't working out. Thanks for the 6 games of nothingness. We're just going to go back to doing what we normally do before you got here. Here's the thing for me, and I'll get your thoughts on this, Andy, as far as like where I'm at right now.
No, I'm numb. That's what I can say, right?
Normally, I have answers. Like, normally, yeah. You say, hey, Daryl, what do they do from here? Where do they go from here? How do they fix it? Andy, I don't have any answers. I have no solutions any semblance of sense. I will admit that to our audience. I know that it's like a terrible thing to admit, but like, I got nothing for you, fans. I really don't. I don't know how they fix this. This is such a massive train wreck that there isn't a football hazmat unit on the planet that can clean this mess up. I am sorry, but I said a couple of weeks ago that this is what it was, that this is what it would be going forward. And, you know, I'm sorry to take the victory lap and say I told you so, that that's what this is, and it's going to be going forward.
Here's what I think we're looking at, Daryl. I think we're looking at a fire sale coming up for anything they can trade to get draft pieces for the future here. I'm really wondering what they're going to do. I don't know what they would get for Nick Chubb, but I don't know if I'm just curious to see what happens to Nick Chubb. I'm curious to see what happens with Denzel Ward.
Need Nick Chubb because
they do need Nick Chubb, especially now after another injury today.
No, the reason they need him is just so people want to come to the games. I hate to sound that cynical, but right.
Well, I mean. And I wish I could say it just because Jerome Ford got hurt today and that they're going to have to find another way. They need another center now, too. They're just in a really bad spot right now because it just feels like everything's locked into Deshaun. If they wanted to keep the pieces that were in place and change out the quarterback, they can't really do that. If you're the general manager, you're trying to – I'd be pulling my hair out right now. I would either be – asking players, you know, where would they want to be traded, or I would try to figure out if we're going to move forward with what we have. The odds of making the playoffs are unbelievably slim. The fact that you still have the entire AFC North to play home and away, I don't know if that's a positive or a negative.
No, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to say it, but you did. So I just think that there's a lot of questions out there right now. And they're not just game questions; they're franchise questions.
Yeah, I mean they are in the worst possible spot. And again, I go back to I don't have any answers. I don't know how they get out of this mess. They've got to trade Amari Cooper once again. Him and Deshaun Watson not on the same page. Which, by the way, again, victory lap once again for me. I told you the choice routes are going to suck and they're not going to work. Because the receivers and the quarterback have to be on the same page. How many times over 6 weeks have we seen the quarterback and the receivers not on the same page? Like it just does not work. And I am so sick and tired of hearing from Kevin Stefanski, it's on him. We have to coach better. We own our record. Like, dude, give me something more than that. Do something. Like, you know, the meme, the do something meme. Like that's
yeah.
The Browns right now. Do something, anything. Another game in which they don't score an offensive touchdown. Thank God for Myles Garrett and Rodney McLeod. By the way, Rodney McLeod, who plays defense, it's not what I was going to say. Rodney McLeod, who plays defense, is tied for the team lead in touchdowns this year with 2.
Yeah. The other points that are going to come out this week, again, if I'm Amari Cooper, I want to go to Indianapolis because Joe Flacco, whether he connected with him or not, tried to hit 10 different receivers today. He was 22 of 38. He didn't throw for 200 yards, though, but he did have 2 touchdowns, and he did throw a pick. And
touchdowns that Deshaun Watson threw.
But they won.
Did you see what Baker Mayfield did to my New Orleans Saints today?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I am rooting for him. I hope he does great. The situation here turned on him pretty quick. And, you know, again, it's all about ego in that thing. And it's just, I mean, they scored 51 points, dude.
And he was just as complicit in that. Let's be clear. Like,
I mean, yeah, I agree. I totally
He's not immune from criticism or.
No, Baker would have got the extension. It's all he had to do was say yes at that point because Deshaun had said, I'm not coming to Cleveland.
Yeah.
He would have got it. He would have got the extension at that point.
Yeah, I don't know that he would have gotten what he wanted from it, but yeah. Right. I mean, I'm looking it up. I'm looking up his numbers right now.
Oh, from today?
Yeah, I want to see what he
did. 24, 36, 325 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 picks, and he threw the 3 picks, I think, in the first half and came back. But guess how many times he got sacked in that game? Once. For 8 yards. So.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. I don't think we would have gotten the player that the Buccaneers have right now here in Cleveland from Baker. I feel like he needed to go through the process that he went through and the difficulties and the challenges, because nobody picks himself up off the mat as an underdog like Baker Mayfield does. No,
that's true, yeah.
And here in Cleveland, he wasn't an underdog. He was the number one pick, and if he would have gotten the contract extension, he definitely wasn't going to be the underdog. So he's at his best when he's down and out and counted out, and you know he wants to give everybody the single-finger salute and say, you're all wrong, and I can do this when nobody believes in me. So, but right now, I mean, they need that from Deshaun Watson desperately. And I am worried that everyone's going to fall in love with that 11 of 12 for $122 in the second half. And they're going to be like, oh, that second half was strong. Maybe a little momentum there against the Eagles. Can they take it into the Bengals game? Yeah. Like, I mean, I just don't want to hear it this week. The guy cannot pass for 200 yards, Andy. That's beyond unacceptable. This team can't score 20 points. The 1999 expansion Browns at least were able to score 20 points in a game a few times. You know what? Like,
yeah, no, I'm with you. And by what'd your offense give you today? 9?
9 points. The 1-31 Browns of 2016 and 2017 lore could occasionally score 20 or more points in a game. It's absurd that this offense is.
So do we hear from Andrew Berry? Do we hear from Jimmy Haslam this week or no?
No. Those guys are hiding under rocks right now. Now, I will tell you this. Jimmy Haslam will be on the practice field this week because he was on the practice field all last week. Doing what he normally does, and that is surveying the scene. But I just don't think that. I think the challenge when it comes to what you do and even what I do, because there is some nuance to this. Like it's easy to say, yeah, go ahead and fire Kevin Stefanski.
I'm not saying that though.
I'm not saying you are. I'm not putting any words in your mouth, but I'm saying like that would be the easiest thing that for people to, yeah, let's go ahead and fire Kev. You understand, like this is only the second time under Kevin Stefanski. I looked this up because I was curious about the losing streaks. Mm-hmm. I mean, 4-game losing streaks. I mean, God, they used to do that 2-3 times.
Oh, we used to eat those for breakfast.
Yeah. Right. So this is only the second 4-game losing streak in 5 years that Kevin Stefanski's been here. And this is only the third losing streak of 3 or more games under Stefanski. I mean, that does kind of speak to how he's been able to kind of stop the bleeding. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I feel like that they're hemorrhaging right now. There is no stopping the bleeding. Big plays on defense given up. MJ Emerson, I don't know what's going on with him. He gets beat by AJ Brown for the touchdown there in the end zone. And then a beautiful pick play involving Eagles receiver Devonta Smith goes for a 45-yard touchdown. Greg Newsom kind of got caught up in the wash there, and that sprung him free. So it just, again, it's just like one or two plays on that side of the ball torpedo a game. And God love Myles Garrett. Only real highlight of the day with the leapfrog blocked field goal that's got scooped and returned for a touchdown. And in some way, somehow that game was tied at 10 at halftime. But yeah, I don't know where they go from here. They ran the ball okay on Sunday. They hit 100 yards rushing. They only got out rushed by 16 yards. Philadelphia had 116 yards on the ground. But like the passing, 256 to 144, third down conversions, just 3 of 12. So quick.
Like this game would be great if it was the last game of preseason. I'll be honest with you. This would have been a great game if it was the last game of preseason, but it's not.
Yeah. I mean, the last two games, they're 4 of 25 on third down. The Browns are. Last two games combined.
Thank goodness for the Guardians, because this was a bad weekend all the way across the board. Otherwise.
Yes, it was. At least Kevin Stefanski knows the rule book, unlike the guy in Columbus. I'm sorry, was that too cheap of a shot to take?
Wait, hit me on the what rule didn't he know?
The toward the end of the game in the final like 2 minutes, there was a bit of a controversy with time management.
Oh, you're saying the 10 seconds that got rolled off at the end. Yeah, I don't know. I heard you on the show today. I disagree with pretty much everything you said about Ohio State. The one thing, and I'll just...
These Pages win those games. Got to win those games. Sorry.
You don't have to win those games anymore. That was the number two team against the number three team in the country. It was a one-point game. And the way the new system set up, you don't have to win those games. And you probably couldn't get another chance to play them again later in the year, whether it's in the Big Ten Championship or, in a playoff game. So, you know, the desperation of having to win those games. By the way, he's only lost
once. Most of his losses are to top five teams, including Michigan.
Yeah, but he's only, like, if you look at he's games before Thanksgiving, Oregon is the only team to beat him before Thanksgiving twice.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. He beats up on the crap teams, and he's losing games that matter.
I don't know. I got to be honest with you. If he was our NFL head coach, I wouldn't have any problem with him. I think he's a damn good coach. I think we can argue. But, well, why don't we go on the Stupid Buckeye podcast and we can argue that there. You want to do that?
Can't win the big games consistently. Can't beat Michigan. Can't win college football playoffs.
He did beat Michigan.
One time.
Okay, well.
Once.
I mean, how many opportunities has he had?
Four.
And I know they, you know, but I just... You can't win every game all the time. Like Ohio State fans, the expectation got blown out of the water after Trussell won the championship in 2002. And Ohio State fans think that they've got to win every game to be successful. It's ridiculous.
I don't know. Alabama has done pretty good at it in the last
decade. How'd they do? How's Vanderbilt right now?
I knew you were going to come with Vandy. That's why I said that, because I knew you were going to come up with
it. I don't know. I'm going to stick up for Ryan Day. I think he's – I still like him. And you're not going to win every game. You're just not going to. And Ohio State fan is just out of their mind.
I need to put you in touch with Kevin Stefanski so you can tell him. You know what, Kevin? You're just not going to win every game. You know that.
Look, I can live with it. Kevin's a different story, but when it comes to college football, I mean,
I do agree with you. They've changed the system now, so like that in years past, that would have been a nail in the.
I would have agreed with you in years past. I would have agreed with you, but not anymore. It's not there anymore. It's different because of the way they're doing the playoffs.
I think because of what he makes, and now that the players are being paid. It's semi-pro football, which I don't like. I do miss the purity of student-athlete college football. I hate the transfer portal. I hate this. It's you have your free agency in the off-season stuff. You can't build a program anymore because kids are bouncing around and things like that. But, you know, money corrupts everything, and it's has finally, you know, corrupted college sports, especially college football. But yeah, I mean, you are right. My overreaction is I wanted them to win that game last night.
I did too. Trust me, I wanted them to win. I want to do this though. Let's forget about Ohio State for a second, because and before we
I
take off,
I'd rather argue with you about Ohio State than like try and pretend fight about you about how bad the Browns suck.
That's true. I can't even. I'd rather tell the Ohio State fight too. Listen, before we go, because again, I think we've said enough about the game. I'm done with the game for today. You had the opportunity to go to Dan Coughlin's funeral throughout the day today, and Dan
calling hours. The funeral's on Monday.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You went to calling hours. Okay. I mean, just your thoughts on calling hours, and Danny is. I go back a long, long way with Danny. He was he was friends with my grandfather, my step grandfather, when I was a kid, and I have a baseball at home that we figured out that Danny gave to my step grandfather to give to me. In the 70s, it's Frank Robinson's on the sweet spot. It's one of those Indians teams from the 70s. And, you know, I met Danny when I was an intern at Channel 8. And I used to talk to him at like 2-3 in the morning. And he would call in when I was interning for Mark Schrader. And to me, Danny's such a great human being. And I kind of smile, you know, thinking about him, especially today. Going to the viewing, because he always used to say, "Oh, better to be seen than to be viewed," and it's all I could think about. So I my heart goes out to Danny's family, and I just probably the best television writer there ever was in town when it comes to sports. No one out could outwrite him. And you know, he had a great impact on me. I can tell you that, and he was a dear friend. And I'm saddened by his passing, but I do know that when I think about his time on this earth, that it makes me smile. It makes me laugh, and I'm a better person for meeting Dan Coughlin.
Yeah, same here. I remember when I was interning at Fox 8, and he was hard to miss in the newsroom. He just the boisterous personality. He treated me like I had 20 years in the business already, and I was, you know, I was just the intern charting, you know, game tape. He, like you, big influence on me. And you know, we were waiting in line. I was there with John Telich and Tony Rizzo and a lot of the folks that I had met early in my career. We were joking at how Danny got out easy. He doesn't have to watch the Browns anymore. And how he's up there, you know, probably laughing at all of us over, you know, gathering to honor him and pay our respects.
Oh, he'd all want us to drink a beer. Pass the nuts, right?
Yeah, pass the nuts. I got both his books on the bookshelf behind me. But yeah, I mean, his laughter was infectious. He didn't have a story for everything. He had a novel for everything.
He did.
I mean, and he always takes Ed, St. Ed's, and the points.
Every time.
You know, so it was great. You know, it was great to see a lot of folks that I frankly had not seen in a long, long time. Certainly the circumstances seeing them were really, really awful. But getting to speak with Danny's family you know, I think that they were, you know, overwhelmed. I got there early and it was jam packed. And I can only imagine what it was after I left. But he impacted a lot of people. One funny thing. I'll leave you this. So one of the items that they had on display was one of Dan Coughlin's just his scorebook from scoring Indians games.
Right.
And there were a couple of boxes that said WW on them in succession. Wasn't watching. Vintage Dan Coughlin right there.
Right.
In the scorebook for at bats,
at some point I'm going to put this on YouTube. I'll share it. It's, you know, it's a little colorful. I could probably tell the story and get away with it on the pod, but I couldn't do it on the radio.
Right.
So when my dad retired, I was working in Columbus, and what I did was I made this, like, it was a really funny video about my dad as an athlete, because my dad played basketball at Heights. Wasn't a very good player at all. He had transferred from Glenville and had to graduate in the middle of the year. So, and so he didn't even get to play his senior year because he wasn't going to go to school after June. So, or after January. So the video about my dad retiring was called Al Baskin All-American. And so I had, you know, I was working in Columbus at the time. So John Cooper's in it. Jim O'Brien, who was a basketball coach, is in it. John Marco is a hockey coach. Like, I've got all these coaches that were at Ohio State in it. And then JT's in it, John Telich is in it, and just some of the people I knew up here in Cleveland. And I needed someone to host it. And it was just, you know, it was a 12-minute video. And I looked at Danny and I'm like, Danny, can you host this for me? And he was like, oh my God, Andy, absolutely. I would love to do that for you. And there's a joke about my dad that, you know, when he was poor, or when he was young, he was poor, and that he couldn't afford a football. So my dad used to say, you know, they would take the Sunday Plain Dealer and they would put tape around it, and that they would make it into a football, and then he would go play football with his friends. But Danny took the joke to the next level, and it was, I don't know. Evan, can I get away with a little bit off color? Yeah. I'm just going to tell the joke. So it was this whole joke about my dad and not having any friends to play with. So my dad would play with himself. How's that sound?
There you go.
And Danny took the joke to the ultimate extreme. And at some point I want to put the video on YouTube because it's that funny. And he's like, and there was Al. There was Al Baskin. He was with himself. And so it's just like, it was so funny. And we had a room of like probably 200 people at his retirement party that were just in tears laughing at how funny Danny was. And so, you know, you pay your respects. I pay my respects to his family, because he really was just no one could hold court the way Dan Coughlin could.
He was the life of the party, and the party was anywhere he stood.
Let's leave it at that. It's always game day in Cleveland.